Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Zayin. We left off in the Vavim Beis. We're in the second wide line of the Vavim Beis. The second wide line. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, middle of the line. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Gag HaSamach L'Chaser Chavero, Osolomaka Gavoa Dal Ramos, Avol Ben Gag L'Gag Lo. If you have a roof that's right next to somebody else's Chatzer, and you want to avoid Hezek Re'iyah, so you make a maka that's on top of the roof, a fence on top of the roof that's 4 amos high. But if you have two roofs that border on each other, you don't need to make a fence that's 4 amos high. Rav Nachman Dideyam are inu zakuk l'dal ramos, aval zakuk l'mechitzas hasara. Rav Nachman says, yeah, when you have two roofs that are next to each other, you don't need to make a wall that's 4 amos high, but you do need a mechitza. When two roofs are right next to each other, you do need a mechitza in between them that's 10 tefachim high. And again, we're not talking about a makkah where someone's going to fall off the roof, because over here the two roofs touch each other. They're right next to each other. You can't fall to the ground from them. There's no ground in between them. There are two roofs that are literally right next to each other. It's like attached houses. And you have the roofs of the attached houses. So, Lamai, why do you need this mechitza of 10 tefachim? Ila hezek re'iyah arba amos b'inan. If it were an issue of hezek re'iyah, then you should need dalet amos. Ila mitzvah salav kiganav b'mesipas b'almasagya. If you just don't want the guy accidentally, so to speak, walking onto your roof, and you know you're gonna to act like a ganav and hang out on your roof when he should really be hanging out on his roof, and he'll just be able to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought it was my roof. I didn't realize that I was using your roof." Well, then all you need to do is make some sort of sign, some sort of marker on the roof to signify where the end of his roof is and the beginning of your roof is, and then he'll have no excuse to ever be on your roof. And if it's that you don't want his animals wandering onto your roof, so then it should just be big enough that the animals shouldn't be able to get through. Why does it need to be 10 tefachim high? So the olam l'nitva salav kiganav b'mesipas bas mishtamit lay amar mitzuri kama mitzirna. Really, it's because of the issue that he's gonna act like a ganav. He's gonna go on your roof and pretend that he wasn't doing anything wrong. And why can't you just make a marker where you say, look, it's very evident and very clear where your roof ends, and therefore you shouldn't be on my roof? Because we're afraid he's going to say, I just dropped something and it rolled right onto your side of the roof. That's why I was here. And he'll make an excuse. So if you have a mechitz of 10 tefachim, nothing that he drops is going to be able to just roll over onto your side of the roof. B'mechitz asara lo matzi mishtamet lei. He's not going to have any excuse if there's a mechitz of asara tefachim. But if all you had was a little marker to show where the roof ends, he'll still be able to come up with an excuse, and he'll be able to say that I just dropped something and went to your side. I was just going to retrieve what I had dropped. Meisvei im hayachatzir lemalam migagu shel chaveiro ein niskakin lo. My love ain't is kakan lo klal. We have a brisa that says that if you have a chatzer above someone else's roof, so ain't is kakan lo. You don't need to make a mechitza. Now, we just said that chatzer next to a roof, you have to make a mechitza dalet amos. So doesn't ain't is kakan lo mean you don't have to make a mechitza? And when you have two roofs next to each other, it's ten tefachim. Doesn't ain't is kakan lo mean you don't need to do anything? So it says more low. You don't need a 4 amma mechitza, but you do need a mechitza of asara tefachim. Itmar shtei chatzeros zulam ala mizu. If you have two chatzeros, one right above the other, amar afuna tachton bona mikinegdova ola. If you have the elyon bona mikinegdova ola. If you have two chatzeros and there's a hill in between them, so one is on top of the other, one is higher than the other, not a hill, let's say it's just a straight down, goes right down the ground level just goes straight down. So the halacha is you're supposed to build a mechitza of dalet amos between two chatzeros. But dalet amos from where? Dalet amos from the bottom or dalet amos from the top? And you're supposed to build it on the line in between the two chatzeros, but the line is not even, because on my half, on the top half of the chatzer, right, the line is on the top half of the chatzer, I can go up for almost, but then I can't build on the other half because it's air. I would have to go down and build from the bottom on the other half. So what you do is the guy on the bottom has to build up on, let's say they're supposed to build a 6 tefach thick wall, 3 tefachim on each side. This was supposed to build gvil. So the guy in the bottom will build gvil on 3 tefachim all by himself up until the level of the top chatzer. And then once they get there, now that he's evened it out and they have six tefachim on which to build, and the six tefachim are equal, half on one side, half on the other side, now they both chip in and build up the rest of the way. Again, tachton bona miknegdo v'olav, ve'elyon bona miknegdo v'olav. If you look at Rashi, ze bona miknegdo v'olav, hatachton bona mishalomi lamata ad shemagia l'gova karkiyisa shel chavero, v'achar kach maschil ze l'sayeyo. The tachton does everything on the bottom, and then after that, once he's evened it out, the guy on the top begins to chip in. V'nosin chelko miknegdo umala. The guy on the top shouldn't lose out just because his neighbor has a very low land, and therefore he doesn't have to pay anything extra, anything more than he would have to pay if his neighbor had a high land. So therefore he only has to start kicking in the money once the bottom neighbor has evened out the ground and has created an area of six tefachim that they're able to build up. Rav Chista Amar, Elyon misayeh milamato ubonen. Rav Chista says, no, the Elyon does lose out because his neighbor has a lower land. He has to start chipping in from the very bottom of the fence. Even though that's the half of the fence that's on his neighbor's side, he has to start chipping in from there. Tanya kavaseh de Rav Chista, we have a brice that supports Rav Chista, shtei chatzei rezulam ala mizu, lo yomar ha-Elyon hareini bonen mikinegdi va'ole. If you have two chatzeros next to each other, the top guy cannot say, I'm only going to start building from my ground level. He has to start building from the ground level of his neighbor. But if his chaser was above the gag of his friend, then he doesn't have to do anything. Or again, he doesn't have to do anything, or he might mean he has to at least build on tefachim, but no more than that. If you look at Tosos, Shtei Chatzer Zulim Alamizu, Frak Tosos Vim Tomer V'Tachton Lami Yisayei LeElyon. Why does the Tachton have to help the Elyon at all? Meaning, we've been discussing, we had a machlokas whether the Elyon has to help with the Tachton, right, with the bottom half of the wall. Let's say the Elyon doesn't help. Let's go with the first sheet. The Elyon doesn't help with the bottom half of the wall. The Tachton builds the bottom half of the wall all the way up until he reaches the ground level of the Elyon. So now, why does the Tachton have any responsibility to build any further? Shouldn't it be enough that he built a wall that's four amos above his own ground level? He's always going to be standing on his own ground level. All you need in order not to have Hezek Re'iyah is a four amo wall. So he's protected his neighbor from having Hezek Re'iyah from him. So why should he build any further? Adrabba, it's his neighbor's responsibility not to be mazik him. Right, it's the Elyon's responsibility not to be mazik the Tachton. So let the Elyon build four amos on his side. Why should the Tachton have to help the Tachton to care of his responsibility vis-a-vis Hezek Re'iyah? So says Tosos, Vam Rabbeinu Tam, Kigon Shechatzer Tachton Einu Namuch, Ella Eitzel Chatzero Shel Elyon. Umitzad Echad Hu Govek Chatzer Elyon Shiyuchel Irosham. We keep picturing two fields, two Chatzeros, that are both even ground themselves. It's just that they're off from each other. But what are the chances of that happening? It's most likely that it's a very hilly area. And therefore, yes, on the border there's a significant drop-off, but if you continue to go in the Tachton's Chatzer, he's going to go up a hill and down a hill and up. There are spots on his property that are even with the upper ground of the Elyon. So if he just builds four amos up from right where his border is, and he'll walk over a few feet in his chatzer, and he'll be on even ground with the Elyon, and he'll be able to see right over that fence. And therefore, he has not really protected himself from Hezek Re'iyah, which is interesting. What kind of ramifications does this have if there are spots in his chatzer that are higher than the ground of the Elyon, where he's going to be able to see above the fence, even if if it goes with Dalet Amos above the Elyon? Would this mean to suggest that he would have to build up till Dalet Amos above wherever his highest ground is, anywhere in the Chatzer? That's what it sounds like, that he's got to worry about wherever in his Chatzer might be higher. V'rime farish, da'atachton mazik le'elyon ki ka'i elyon, v'damrin le'el ki kamina chazili, l'kach tzarek l'seyeh, Dalet Amos b'chatzer elyon. And then he says, no, think about it for a second. If there are two Chatzeros that are on even ground with each other, so of course a wall of Dalet Amos is going to help, that I won't be able to see into his Chatzer. But when he's higher than I am, so my wall of Dalet Amos will mean that I can't look straight ahead and see into his chatzer, but I could still look up and look over the wall, and if his ground is higher, so I could see what he's doing, certainly when he's standing. So when he's sitting, maybe I won't have a good angle. But when he's standing up, I could certainly see what he's doing in his chatzer. It's just like we said with the gag, that the difference between the two gags next to each other, and the gag and the gag next to a chatzer, is that when you have two gagos next to each other, the neighbors can see each other even when they're sitting. But when you have a gag next to a chatzer, the people in the chatzer can only see the person on the gag when he's standing. But when he's standing, the taka can't see him. So that has to be concerned. That's part of the hezekriya that needs to be protected against. Says the Gemara Vayter. Hanu Beitrei, Davudairi, Chad Havadairi Loi, Vachad Havadairi Tosai. There were two people that lived in a building. One guy lived in the bottom apartment, one in the top apartment, one guy lived in the bottom apartment. Itvar Tasai, the bottom apartment broke. How does the bottom apartment break without the top apartment breaking? Says Rashi, Nitvu'u Haksalim Atachtonim. The bottom wall, Ba'aret, the bottom wall started sinking into the ground. Atcha Shafla Tikras Ha'aliyah, until the floor between the top floor and the bottom floor, right, that ceiling was getting lower and lower. So the ceiling was sort of sinking in on the guy in the bottom. And it got to the point where the bottom guy couldn't get into his own house unless he bent down. So it was obviously his house was sinking. The guy at the top didn't mind. He just had fewer steps to walk up to get to his house. So now what do you do? The bottom guy says to the top guy, okay, let's start building. We have a project to do. Look, our house is sinking. The guy in the top said, what do you mean our house is sinking? As far as I could tell, I'm doing fine. I'm not going to help out with anything. Amalei istrei anavi ivnia. He says, okay, you don't want to chip in, you want to be difficult. Let me at least knock down the house and rebuild the house. And don't worry, I'll rebuild you your top apartment also. Amar lesli dukta lemedabra. He says, that's very nice. The problem is, I have nowhere else to live. I can't have you knock down my house and rebuild it. Where am I going to live in the meantime? He said, I'll rent you a place. I'll pay for everything. I'll rent you a place to live. He says, what a hassle. I'm going to have to move all my stuff out, move all my stuff back in. Nah, I'd really rather not do that. So the bottom guy says, what are you talking about? I can't live here. It's impossible for me right now. So he says, why don't you go in on your belly and go out on your belly. Meaning, if you have to go in like a snake and go out like a snake, no. So that's what you'll have to do. It's a little inconvenient, but you'll have to do that. So Rav Chama bedina kama akev. Rav Chama says the guy in the top has every right to say all of those things. He has every right to be ma'akev and to force the guy on the bottom to have to suffer with living in that way. V'hani mili d'lama tukshru l'matma asar. But that's only if the beams have not dipped below 10 tefachim from the ground. The beams being the floor or the ceiling between the two, between the bottom floor and top floor. If it's not beneath 10 tefachim from the ground. But if it dipped below 10 tefachim from the ground, then the guy on the bottom can say, look, this is already my property, v'lo mishabed lach. That the airspace of 10 tefachim from the ground is certainly something that I'm entitled to, and I'm not meshubah to give you my airspace. You're already encroaching on my area, and now you're mechuyev to help me build. That's only if they didn't make a tanai when they first split, meaning these are brothers who split a Yerusha, but if they originally made a tanai when they first split, that they should both be able to live normally, and if ever something like this happens, that they would build together. So then they have to build it together. And how much do we assume, meaning at what point can the guy on the bottom say, I can't live like this, when they did make it tonight? Let's say they made it tonight, that if it gets terrible, that the guy on the bottom can have a tiny, I can't live like this, meaning how terrible does it have to get? Let's say it drops a quarter of a centimeter. So can he say, this is crazy, look, my walls are sinking, we have to rebuild again? Or can the guy on top say, no, that's not reasonable. You can barely even tell the difference. So at what point do we say that it's even with it tonight, that the top guy would have to help? So Amar Rabban, Kamed Rabban, Mishmei D'Marazut, Bered Rav Nachman, the Amar, Mishmei D'Rav Nachman, Ka'osa Shashaninu, Roma Kechatzi Archel Kechatzi Rachbo. The ideal height of a room is half the width of the room plus half the height of the plus half the length of the room. So if you take half of the width plus half of the length, that should be the ideal height of the room. If it ever sinks below that height, then you can force him to build it. I'm not sure what the halacha would be. I didn't have a chance to look around that much. I'm not sure what the halacha would be if it started out lower than that. Then at what point? Meaning then anything? Then even Mashahu? I'm not sure. So if you look at Rashi, where do we get this number of the half plus the half? So if you look at Rashi, Koso Shoshaninu, Vamocher Peros, a Makabel of Mechver, Livnos Bias, if you're Makabel to build a house for somebody, Osa Romo, Kechatzi Arko, Vechatzi Rachbo. The height ideally should be half length plus half width. Why? Kebinyan ha-hechal, because that was the construction of the hechal. Shaya orcho arba'im, it was 40 amos long. V'rachvo esrim, it was 20 amos wide. V'gavu shloshim, and the height was 30 amos, right? 40 plus 20 divided by 2. So that's how you got the height. That's 30. Amar lehu Rabba, lav aminu lechu lo titlu bebuki sriki b'Rav Nachman. So Rabba heard this and he got very upset. He said, didn't I tell you not to say such ridiculous things in the name of Rav Nachman? That you're going to say that that's the standard that a person has to live by. Hachiyam Rav Nachman, kidai rienshi. Rav Nachman said, no, it's the way that people normally live. When it gets to the point where it's different than the way people normally live, it doesn't have to be such cathedral ceilings. You don't have to have cathedral ceilings. If it gets to the point where it's below the height that people could normally live, that's where you have to fix it. The kama, how much is that? It's enough that you should be able to bring in these large bundles of long reeds and turn around on all sides without hitting the ceiling. So if you have something like that, without hitting the ceiling or any of the walls, you have enough space to maneuver that you're not going to hit the ceiling or any of the walls. If you bring in these large reeds, a bundle of these large reeds, and you turn around, it's like, it reminds me of like a ki'ilu, you bring in like those old bamboo shoots, you know, the schach, and you're able to spin around and you're not going to hit anything, so then it's going to be okay. There was a guy that was building a wall next to his friend's windows. So his friend said, you're blocking my windows. You're making it very dark for me in here. He realized there's no electricity. Windows weren't just for the view. Windows were also for the light. They needed more primarily for the light. So he says, I'll tell you what. I'll close up your windows right here, and I'll poke you in new windows. I'll make new windows above where I'm building my wall. Your house is 20 amos high. The place I'm building is only 15 amos high. So you can still have windows. I'll make you new windows in those top 5 amos of your house. He says, no, but that's going to ruin my walls to just poke in new holes in my walls. Says Rashi, it's going to involve banging, and it's not going to be good for my walls to do that. So he says, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll knock down your wall all the way to the point of where your current windows are. I'll then build it up brick by brick, higher and insert new windows as I'm building it above the level of where my wall is going to be. And that way you won't have to worry about anything. It's not going to destroy your wall. Adrabi, you can have a brand new top of the wall. He says, no, a wall that's old on the bottom and new on the top, right, is not gonna stand. That's not very structurally sound to have a wall that's old on the bottom and new on the top. So he says, okay, I understand. So here's what I'll do. I'll knock down the entire wall and I'll build it up from the ground brick by brick and put in new windows very high up. He says, that's crazy. Then I'm going to have one new wall and three old walls in my house. And that's not very structurally sound, to have one new wall and three old walls. I don't want that. He says, okay, I'll knock down your entire house. I'll build you a new house. And in the new house, I'll build you high windows so that you can get light. The windows are going to be on a height that's greater than the height of my wall. Amalei, Leslie Duchta Lamedabai. He says, that's very nice of you to offer to knock down my house and build me a new house. Problem is, I have nowhere else to live. Amalei, Agir Lachduchta. He says, I'll rent you another place to live in the meantime, so you don't have to worry about it. Amalei, Lotarachna. Ah, who wants to go through the trouble of moving out, moving back in? I'd really rather not. Some Rav Chama b'din kama'akev. Again, Rav Chama says that he has the right to tell them, I'm not interested in allowing you to continue to build. You're blocking my light. Why does he have the right to say he's blocking his light? Can't the other guy say, look, I'm doing my, I'm working my own property. You can't stop me from doing anything in my own property. So this relates to yesterday's sugya. This is cheskas hashtamshus. That if you have a chazaka that you're entitled to have the light from that chatzer, that comes through that chatzer, and you've had a cheskas, again, different shittos and rishonim, but let's assume maybe cheskas gimel shanim on that. So then you're allowed to demand it, and you're allowed to say that this is something that I now have the right to have. So says the Gemara. Wait a second. These two stories are very similar. Hainu hach vasu lamali. Right. These stories are exactly the same. Once I've had the first story with the two guys, two neighbors, one guy living on top floor, the other guy living on the bottom floor, and the guy on the top floor is being impossible about accommodating the guy on the bottom floor to rebuild, and we said he's allowed to be impossible, why do I need the story of the guy whose windows are being shut in, that he's allowed to be impossible as well? So aren't they the same story? So how come Ashmanah? The chiddush is, da'afogav de lo mishtamesh elativnu betzivi bi'alma. Even if the house is not a house that he lives in, even if he just uses it for storage of his hay and straw or whatever and wood, even that it's okay, right? Who atzmo even if ein hu atzmo dar b'tocho, Rashi says, still he could say, I don't want to go through the trouble of having to find new storage area for my stuff. What the Gemara never takes the story the next step. What if the fellow, when I'm asking you to move, so I understand very well, you can always say that's a big tirka for me to move. What if the fellow who's offering to build says, I'll move your stuff for you? Not only will I rent you another place, I'll move it for you. So again, didn't have a chance to look around in Rishonim, I'm sure it's discussed, right? Maybe you could say that that's not considered to be such a tirka for him. He can't say it's a tirka for me, you don't have to do anything. Or on the other side, he could say, I don't want to have to worry about where my stuff is going, and I don't want you just to move it without me overseeing what's going on, and for me to oversee what's going on is going to cause too much of a tirchah for me. So it's not abundantly clear from the Gemara which way you would go. I would imagine it would be a discussion in the Rishonim. If you look at Tosfos, Hainu Hach, says Tosfos Vim Tomar, V'hashmi'inan v'hayuv d'dechadita a'atika lokai. What do you mean we learn the same thing from both stories? There are lots of details in the second story that we never would have gotten from the first story. For instance, in the second story we learn that an old wall and a new wall that are in the same house is not going to be structurally sound, that you want all the walls of your house to be roughly the same age. We certainly don't get that from the first story, where it was where the only option was to knock down the entire thing and rebuild from scratch. And the first story taught us this halacha, that once the ceiling dips below 10 tefachim from the ground, then there's no way the top guy can say anything. Then he's already encroaching on his neighbor's property, which is not at all no geya to the second story, where he's just blocking his windows. So there are plenty of details in each story that we don't get from the other story. So why does the Gemara say, Hainu hach, asulamali, that they're telling the same exact story? They're not at all telling the same exact story. So it says, Tosfos, Yishlomer, Dimbilsa, Dipshitihi, Dechad, Dechadit, Avakula, Atikol, Okai. He says, first of all, in terms of the issue that the chiddush that we wanted to suggest from the second story, that one new wall and three old walls are not going to be structurally sound in a house, that you don't need to be a genius to figure out. That's something that we could figure out on our own. You don't need the Gemara to tell it to me. And for that chiddush alone, we shouldn't have brought the second story. Now, granted, there's a chiddush in the first story that we don't know from the second story, that halacha about ten tefachim. So just tell us the first story, right? Hasulamali, why do you need to tell me the second story? So that was the Gemara's kasha, because whatever chiddush we got from the second story, we could have figured out on our own. We would not have needed the Gemara to tell it to me. Says Mar Vayter, Hanu Beitrei Achi de Palagbadi Adadi. Two brothers divide an estate. Chad Matia Aspalida v'Chad Matia Tarbitza. One of them gets the palace, and the other one gets the garden in front of the palace. Right, they decide they don't want to split the palace, they don't want to split the garden. So what do? One takes the palace, one takes the garden. Azalahu de Matya Tarbitza, the Kabani Ashisa Apuma Das Palida. The one that got the garden starts building a wall right next to the palace. right? And when you build a wall right next to the palace, this is why there are zoning laws about not building too close to another person's property, right? To another person's home, he started blocking all the windows of the palace. And the windows, again, were necessary for light. There was no electric light. So Amalei come out, fellas, the light. He says, you're darkening my whole palace. You're making it too dark for me to see. Amalei b'didika benin. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just building on my property. Why is it my problem? So again, we didn't have this previously, because previously he had a chazaka. Right? He had a cheskas kemulshanim that he's allowed to do it. Over here, these are achin shechalku. They just divided it. So there was no chazaka at all. He has no chazaka that he's allowed to have the light. The father owned both, the palace and the garden. Right? But the children are the ones that just split it. So Amar Rav Chama b'din kamalei. Rav Chama says, he's allowed to tell them that. He's allowed to say, I'm building my own property. It's none of your business. And if I'm blocking your light, too bad on you. Amar Ravina and Ravashi, Maishna mehad etanya, Shnei achon shecholku, Echon mehan natal sada kerem, Echon mehan natal sada lavan, Yesh lo lebala kerem, Dalet amos b'stei lavan, Shal benaskin chilko. Why is this any different than two brothers that divide property where there's a vineyard right next to a grain field and the guy who gets the vineyard is able to stop the guy from who has the grain field from planting grain within 4 amos of the border because it's going to be kilei akerem if things are planted within 4 amos of each other. But we don't say that the bala kerem has to be marked dalet amos from the border. No. The bala, even though the kerem is generally, as we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, the kerem is considered to be the mazik. Right, when you have kilei akerem, even though it's the combination of the two and is that creates the iser, and each one on its own is not going to be iser, much like basar b'chalav, right, where each entity on its own is not iser, it's only the combination of the two that are iser, still we label one of them as the mazik. We label the bala kerem as the mazik. So you would think it's up to the bala kerem to move out of the way, but still no, we say it's up to the bal stei lavan to move out of the way so that the bala kerem could have room for avodas hakerem, because that's the idea of dalet amos, is it leaves space for avodas hakerem, for the utensils that he needs in order to work the kerem properly. So don't you see that you're not always able to say, ah, this is my property, you can't tell me what to do with my property. Because over here, the stei lavan has to be marked dalet amos, even though it's his property. He's not allowed to plant grain in those dalet amos. Amalei hasam dalula dadi. Say he says no. Over there, it must be that they paid each other for that they compensated each other for that, right? Says Rashi dalula dadi shenasam balakerem lebal stei lavan damim shel iloy akerem hilka kerem by the mishkal imavodasam. He paid him for a kerem is worth a lot more than a field of grain. So how does that work? That you have two brothers who are trying to split things evenly. One guy gets the kerem and the other one gets the grain. So it must be that the guy who got the kerem compensated the guy who got the grain for the difference between the kerem and the grain. Now, once he compensated him for the difference, he must be entitled to get the entire kerem and to use every inch of that kerem. And if that means that the guy who has the grain has to be marked dalet amos, so be it. So, aval hachamait, wait a second. And over here, where one guy gets a palace and the other guy gets the garden, you don't think there was compensation that was given to the guy who got the garden for getting only a garden instead of the palace? For chibush of tani askin, the haishak asplida, haishak tarbita, aloha. Well, you think we're dealing with people who are morons? That the guys, that two brothers are going to come, and the one guy is going to say, "I have an idea. I'll take the big palace, and you take the garden. Camping is a lot of fun, right?" No, that's crazy. Why would the guy take something like that? He's not a moron. So obviously, he got paid to take it. He got compensated. So since he got compensated, he should have to accommodate. Just like the Baal Stei Lavan, who got compensated, has to accommodate the kerem. The guy who got the garden should have to accommodate the guy who has the palace and accommodate his light and his windows. They compensated him for the fact that he has a building on his property and the other one doesn't. But he did not compensate him for the air. He didn't compensate him enough. If he would have compensated him for the airspace also, so then in Echonami, he wouldn't be able to do anything. But why can't the guy in the palace say, "May kara aspalida palagtali hashta mashrasli idrona"? He says, I was supposed to get a palace. Now I'm left with a dungeon. The whole place is dark. So that wasn't part of the deal. So Rav Simon Bar Ashi, Shma b'yalma palaglei. He says, no, you can call it what you want, but it's still, people look at it, the structure, and it still looks like a palace. So as long as it's still known as the palace, and you were supposed to get the palace, so you got what you were supposed to get. I don't care that it no longer functions as the palace, that's not my problem. Milo Tanya, don't we have a brice v'amor base kor afar ani mochalach? If a guy says, I'm going to sell you a base kor of dirt, afal pi she'ein oel lesach, even though it's only a lesach, it's significantly less in volume than a base kor, higio, the sale is still valid, shalom achal. because he sold him a name, and this area is called the base core. As long as people call it the base core, right? It's like we've had this example. It's like the red shul. If I tell you that I'm selling you the red shul is not red. The white shul is not white. We live in a strange community, but they're not the color. But everyone calls it the red shul, even though it's no longer red. So that's what it's assumed to mean, and the buyer should be aware of that. What if the buyer's not from around here? He thought he was getting a red shul. He wanted to buy a red shul. Now he's not getting the red shul. So is that fair? Says Tosos, it has to be that the lokeach knows that there's such a thing as karka that's called the base core. It's not really a base core, right? It's, they call a certain house, a tiny little house, as a joke, they call it the palace. So he says, I'm selling you the palace. Well, if he thinks he's really buying a palace, that's a problem. He has to know that there at least exists this tiny little hut that they call the palace. Because otherwise he's just being deceived. Even if at the time of the mechira he sees, wait a second, this isn't a base court of dirt that's in front of me, he can still say, I didn't have a havamina that all I'm buying is what's in front of me. Because you told me I'm buying a base core. We put in the shtar, I'm buying a base core. I didn't know that this was called a base core. So it has to be that he was aware of the fact that that's what it's called. Why don't we just look at how much he paid for it? And if he paid enough money for a base core, so then he should owe him a full real base core. If he didn't pay him enough money for a base core, then obviously it didn't mean a real base core, it meant whatever is called a base core. So Yishlomer kagon demarikon da azul gabei veinu nosan afil demelesach. No, he was giving him an extremely cheap price, even less than the amount that he actually bought would be worth. The Ikarle base core, afilu einbo alesach higiyu, if they call it a base core, so even though he only gave him very little and it only has a lesach of area, still he would get that lesach. The lokarle base core, chayv lesach base core shalem. But if they don't call it a base core, even though he paid very little money, but he really thought he was getting this unbelievable deal, that he was getting a base core for his money, so then he's going to be entitled to the full base core. So the assumption in our Gemara is that not only the Miskari base core, but that he knows the Miskari base core, that the Lokeach is aware of the fact that there is this area that they call a base core, even though it's not a base core. Pardes animopalach, the guy says, I'm selling you a pardes, an orchard, afbi shein bo rimonim, even though there are no fruits grown in it, higio, still the sale is valid, shalomach lo el shema, because he is only selling him something that they call the pardes, the Miskari pardes, that's provided that they actually call it the pardes. Kerem animopalach, afbi shein bo gufanim, if he says, I'm selling you a vineyard, and there are no vines in the whole place. So, shalomach lo el shema, still higio, shalomach lo el shema, still the sale is valid, because if everyone calls that place the vineyard, right, Martha's Vineyard, right? If everyone calls it, if there's an actual vineyard there, even if there's no actual vineyard there, if everyone calls it the vineyard, so then it's going to be a sale. V'hudu miskari karma. Again, that's provided that everyone calls it that, and the lokeach is aware that they call it that. So it says more mi dami hasa matziam le mocher lokeach shemaz vinilach hacha matziam le adai tadachi palgi didir nabaki yechid didaru av hasan. Now, how can you compare this case to the case of the two brothers that are splitting, and one of them gets the palace that turns into a dungeon? Over there, he says, look, I sold you something that I just called it by what people called it, so that's what I was selling you. But over here, it's very evident that when they split, the brother who's getting the palace wants to live there. He wants to live there just like the father was able to live there. And now he's not able to live there just like the father was able to live there, because there's no light in the whole place. So can't he have such a taina? It's not like stam, I was buying a palace and okay, as long as it's called a palace. No, I was obviously intending to live there just like our father lived there. So how can the guy who gets the garden block him off? Samalei, Maryunuka, Markashisha, Bredra of Chista, the Ravashi, Maryunuka and Markashisha, Bredra of Chista, said to Ravashi, the two sons of Rav Chista, said to Ravashi, Nardai Litamayu, the people from Narda are going to Shitasam. Right? Rav Chama, who's from Narda, who's the one that said that the guy in the garden is allowed to do whatever he wants, and he can build a wall and block off all the windows, goes the Shitas, the other people from Nahardaa, because Shmuel is also from Nahardaa, and we're going to find that Shmuel says something very similar. That Shmuel had held that whenever brothers divide an estate, even though it's not a natural division, and therefore they are going, in order to be able to use their half properly, they're going to need to some usage from the other half that they're not getting, they're not entitled to anything in the other half. They're entitled to absolutely nothing. They have to pay for whatever they want in the other half. If they need a path to get to their field, and the path needs to lead through the other half that the brother got, they're going to have to compensate the brother for that path and buy it from him. They're not automatically entitled to it at all, and including chalonos, they're not entitled to have windows open up into the other half's side, to the point that the other half is allowed to close up the windows by building walls right next to him. They can't be ma'arer al stimas chalonos, Rashi says. They can't have a taina when the guy in the garden builds up the wall right in front of his windows. And Shmuel says, be very careful about these halachos, because these are halachos kavuos. These are established halachos. And Rav Amar Yeshla and Rav says, no, they certainly have a right to it. Sure, they have a right to each other. Now, who are Mar Yanuka Mar Kashisha? Just interesting how they're identified. Tosus over here says, Mar Yanuka, which one's the older brother? They have the same name. One is called Mar Yanuka, one is called Mar Kashisha. So Yanuk means young, Kashish means old. Tosus says, no, it's the opposite. Mar Yanuka hu agadol. Mar Yanuka is the older one. And why is he called Mar Yanuka? Val shem she nolad biyankuso shel Rav Chisda. Right? Because he was born in Rav Chisda's youth, so he's called Mar Yanuka, meaning he's called the son of Rav Chisda's youth, because he's the older one. Mar Kashisha is the younger one. He's the one that was born in Rav Chisda's older age. Rashi in Maseches Ksuvos Daf Pei Tes says the opposite. He says what we would normally assume, that Shnei Banim Harilu Rav Chisda, V'Shem Shneim Shavin. Rav Chisda had two sons who he named the same thing. That's also interesting. You see that apparently you're allowed to name your children the same name, right? You could have Moshe number one, Moshe number two, Moshe number three. You could name all your children the same name. Elisha Gadol Koron Lo Mar Kashisha, Letzar Koron Lo Mar Yanuka. So the way to distinguish between them was that the older one he called the older one, and the younger one he called the younger one. Right, that's how they labeled them. Why would Tosfos say not like that? I mean, it's such an obvious, it seems so much more logical to call the older one older and the younger one younger rather than the reverse. So probably Tosfos is based on Pesukim. Ki ben zakunim hu lo. Right, that when we refer to Ben Zakunim of Yaakov Avinu, who are we referring to? We're referring to Ben Zakunim, the youngest children, right? Because Ben Zakunim is the son of his old age. So this was the same type of idea. Mar Yanuka Mar Kashisha relates to how the father relates to them. That it was the father's youth or the father's old age. Okay, anyway, that's Shmuel had said, in lem derech zeh al zeh, that they don't have the ability to say, I want to be able to walk through your field in order to get to mine. Says Tosus, in lem derech zeh al zeh, taimim mishum de pasuk Shmuel perka mocher sabayis krebi akiva, tomer mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, ulfichach in lem derech zeh al zeh, shalo shia la'atzmo klum, kol echer b'chilek chaveru v'avlo k'mocher. This is Shmuel l'shitaso. Shmuel holds that when I sell you something, I am mocher ba'ayin yafa. Meaning, everything comes with all the bells and whistles. I'm including everything that I possibly can in the sale. I'm trying to be as generous as I possibly can in the sale. That's Shmuel's shita. We're going to find there are other shitas that say, no, a mocher is ba'ayin rahu mocher. A nosin matana maybe is ba'ayin yafa, because the very act of giving a matana is an act of generosity. So maybe I'm being as generous as I possibly can. But maybe by mocher it's not. But since Shmuel holds mocher is ba'ayin yafa mocher, so it includes everything. Even any derech or any normal entitlement that I might want, I'm giving up when I go and I sell it to you. If you have to bring a mocher ba'ayin v'shir chatzer, mocher lo im ha-derech, l'man diyamar, mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. But wait a second, let's say I sell you a house and I keep the chatzer. So according to Shmuel, that I sell you ba'ayin yafa, that means that you're allowed to still walk through my chatzer, because I'm selling you the house with the utmost generosity, and therefore I'm giving you the right to be able to get to the house also by walking through my chatzer. So apparently, even if you hold mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, or especially if you hold mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, you do have derech zeh al zeh, right? That they are able to walk through each other's property. So why over here do we say they don't have derech zeh al zeh? So says Tosfos, very obvious answer. Over there, one guy, Reuven, is selling to Shimon. So if there's one clear mocher and one clear lokeach, so the mocher is giving the lokeach the rights to the derech as well. He's being as generous as possible. Over here, they're both considered mocherim. They're two brothers who are splitting. They're mocher lahadadi. They sell to each other. So you can't have it go in one direction where one guy gives up the derech in the chatzar to get to the other guy's palace. Because then it's not, it may be generous on one side, but it's not generous on the other side. So the way to assume that mocher bayin yafu when they're mocher la'adadi is that each one gets the piece of property that he's supposed to get in its entirety without giving up any little corner of it. And that's the way we understand it. Okay, says in Garvaitra, who started the Asmi, the Nafak Le'etavra? There was a shtar of Yisomim, that a receipt, that there was a receipt that went out, that the person who owed the money to the Yisomim says, no, I have a receipt, I already paid up the money. Look, we can't collect, but we can't rip it up either. We can't collect with the shtar because there's a receipt. We shouldn't rip up the shtar either. Because you never know, maybe when the Yisomim get a little bit older and a little bit smarter, they'll be able to figure out a way to prove that the shofar, that the receipt is forged, and therefore that the shtar is still should still be usable to collect with. What are we paskin? He says, in all these cases that we just had, we passing like Rav Chama, right? The guy with the two apartments, one on top of the other, and with the neighbors that are blocking you, that's blocking the other guy's window, and the brothers that are splitting. All these cases we pass on Rav Chama, except for this last case of the receipt. Because why would you just assume that a receipt is forged? That, no, we better not rip up the shtar based on this receipt, because maybe when they get older, they're going to assume that it's forged. What do you mean? They're edim on it. We're going to just assume that they're edim that signed falsely. So Marzut Shabrei Rav Mari Yamar Bahanami Krav Chama. Marzut Shabrei Rav Mari said, no, over here we're also going to pass on Krav Chama. You know why? Demisa de Tavra Ma'al Yehu Yibay Le'lafuki B'chai Yavuon. If it was in fact a really good receipt, then where was it when the father was alive? How come it was only brought out now that the father's dead? Oh, look, I have a receipt. I already paid back your father. When the father was alive, we didn't see this receipt. And from the fact that he never brought it out while the father was alive, it's muchach that it must have been forged, and that's why we're not going to accept such a receipt. We're going to pass on Rav Chama. There's a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rimigash. What about the following situation? What about if the father never asked for anything? He was never toveya anything. He never asked for the money. So there was never any reason to bring out the receipt. Right? So the Rashba says, look, if the father was never toveya anything, so then you can't say it's a reyusa that we never saw this receipt when the father was alive. You never saw the receipt when the father was alive because the father never asked to see the receipt. The father never asked for money, where there was never any reason to bring out the receipt. So you can't call that a reyusa. Whereas the Migash will say, no, it's still going to be a reyusa because the bottom line is we never saw it. So now all of a sudden it started appearing. So, okay, in a chinami, the father never asked for it. That just happens to be that he never asked for it. But the fact that it first comes out now after the father's dead is already fishy. You should have made it very public. Everyone knows that there was a shtar, so you should have made the receipt very public even when the father was alive, even if he never asked for the money. Mishnah. One guy could force another guy to build a gatehouse and a door to the chatzar. Not every chatzar gets a gatehouse. You can force all the people that live in a city to build a wall and doors and a lock around the city. Not every city needs a wall around it. Not every community needs to be a gated community. Now, how long do you have to reside in the city before you have to start paying all the fees of someone who resides in the city? So your base chodesh, you're supposed to live there for 12 months. Rav Shechter often points out this is the sugya of paying taxes. We often associate paying taxes with what the Gemara talks about as taxes. That's not really true. This is really what our taxes are like, where you're paying for services that the entire community is receiving. You're paying for garbage pickup and for paving the roads and for security, for a police force. So this is the sugya. Everyone in the city has to contribute to that shutfus. How long do you have to live there? So your base chodesh. But if you buy a house, then even if you don't live there for 12 months, you already have to start paying the membership dues and everything else and all the normal taxes. So the member of the Beishar Mal Yusehi, is a Beishar a good thing to have in the Chatzar that you can force the other guys in the Chatzar to build one? There was this great Chassid who Eliyahu HaNavi used to come and visit all the time, of a Beishar, and then he built a Beishar by his Chatzar. Vesulam Ashtoibadei. And Eliyahu HaNavi protested and he didn't come anymore. So don't you see from there it's a bad thing? So says Gemara, four answers. Number one, Lo Kasha, Hamikavai Hamavrai. Depends if he builds the Beishar on the inside of the Chatzar or on the outside of the Chatzar, whether it's really going to lock Aniyim out of the Chatzar, right? The point is that the Beishar makes it a very exclusive area and Aniyim have a hard time coming to collect. Number two, Vibayse Mahavam Avrai. Maybe they're both, we're talking about you build it on the outside. Lo Kasha, Hadi Isle Dalas, Hadalas Le Dalas. It depends if it has a door or not, whether it's considered mean to the Aniyim. Ibayse Mahava Hadi Isle Dalas. It could be that they're both talking about where you have a door. Lo Kasha, Hadi Isle Posachas, Hadalas Le Posachas. It's one is where you have a posachas, which is, I guess, a handle to easily open the door from the outside, and the other is where you don't. It depends if the posachas is on the inside or the outside, whether it's considered to the aniyim, whether it's considered mean to the aniyim. But the point is, whenever it's a beishar that's meant to keep people out, and therefore an ani is not going to be able to come and collect, that's a bad thing. That's a beishar that you don't want. When it's a beishar that's going to allow aniyim to be able to come in and collect, then that's a beishar that's okay, that you're allowed to have, and you can even force the Bnei Chatzar, can even force each other to build such a beishar. Okay, we have some ground to make up. Bezus Hashem over the next couple of days.